Announcing the newest wireless device that makes presidential communication safe and secure. It's the new BarackBerry.
I can't believe how great this is. I can take and send pictures, email, and download nuclear codes.
At only $3,000, the new BarackBerry is affordable and Secret Service approved.
I can even watch videos. Look at this one of Joe Biden drunk.
The villages.
OMG. WTF.
Change to a wireless device you can believe in. The new BarackBerry. May not work well outside the Oval Office.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Overzealous Holiday Decorator.
Mr. Overzealous Holiday Decorator.
We all love to get into the spirit of the holidays, but you really get into the spirit of the season by creating a computerized household light show that would be more appropriate on the Vegas Strip.
What happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas.
Yes, Mr. Overzealous Holiday Decorator, you go beyond mere icicle lights. You blanket your home in illumination, creating a neighborhood spectacle that can be seen from outer space.
Merry Christmas from the space station.
How much is your electrical bill?
You'll need a second mortgage, yeah.
So this holiday season, when you drive by a home brighter than the sun, displaying three wise men, Santa, and Frosty the Snowman holding a menorah, yell a hearty ho, ho, ho in salute to Mr. Overzealous Holiday Decorator, a real American hero.
Mr. Overzealous Holiday Decorator.
You're going to take all this down before June, right?
Now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Samshine.
It's Samshine. I could tell you prepared that one.
Actually, I don't think about it. This morning when I was driving, I was thinking about saying hi to you.
Oh.
What's that music in the background?
Well,
that's I felt like I had to scream.
Shut up.
I had to scream over you. No, I didn't, like, I don't think about what I'm going to say to you, but as I was driving, I think about you, not
I
like
see.
That.
Ah.
And no, not like
Sam
that.
Samshine.
And it's just like that one came in my head. Yeah. Mix of Sunshine and Sam.
Well, I like
that. In case you didn't get
that. Yeah, better than a love bug.
No,
no,
love bug
like
was good.
Bug.
Yeah, but today's not a love buggy kind of day.
No, why
no.
is that?
Today's like, today I felt like a perv. Not
really?
Like that's different than any other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, what's new today?
But I'm in heat. Like, when I was driving here this morning, I was looking at every single guy in
really?
The car. I was like, this dude.
You must so be then, hungry.
No, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
I just wanted to look at, like, everybody, and I was like, are you my soulmate?
Looking for them, huh?
I don't know. It's a weird day. Yesterday was, ugh, you cursed me yesterday.
I did.
Oh, my God. I crashed so hard. Like, ridiculously hard in the afternoon
really?
Where I was so tired and I didn't want to go to work, and I had the worst night at work. I made the biggest, dumbest mistake I've ever made in my life. And
really?
Like, yeah. And the universe was like, ha ha, that's what you get.
Okay. Do we want to know about the mistake?
Well, yeah, because you're going to laugh at me too. What an idiot I am. So, you know, I work like an hour away.
Right.
And okay, so I have my 4-shot latte and then I had my energy drink. And then I went home and had a Diet Coke, which was more caffeine. And like by mid-afternoon, I was like, oh, I am done. And I passed out in my bed.
Really?
And
it usually doesn't happen to
no,
you?
No, I don't take afternoon naps
yeah.
or anything. I was just like done for. And then my alarm went off and I was like, oh, God, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
And so the hardest part about going to work is actually getting ready to go. You know,
yeah,
once you're
yeah.
there, you're there. So I drive to work. I get there. This girl, I was talking to her. I was like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to be here. And plus it was my day off. So it was already in my head. I was like, why did I pick up this shift? You
yeah.
know? So.
Yeah.
I get my first table, and then I see, like, I have a party of five that's coming in. And parties of five can be pretty lucrative in that.
Lucrative?
Thank you. I knew that didn't sound right. Never used that word in my life.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. It doesn't really fit in this sentence. But
okay. Or really anywhere in the dictionary or anywhere else. It can be, but whatever. So she comes up to me, and she says they were going to send her home. And she was like, you know, I really need a stage. You want to go home? And right then and there, I was like, yes.
Yes, I'll
yes,
go.
I do. I want to go. And then, like, 2 minutes after that, every single person, first the manager came up to me and said, do you know what you just did? And I said, yeah, I'm going home. He was like, do you see that table that was set up in my station for, like, eight people? I'm like, yeah. He said, that is are the guests that come in that spend the most money here ever, and we were giving that to you. He was like, they spend at least $1,000.
Wow.
So you're guaranteed at least $200 tip off of one table.
Right.
And I was like, oh.
I'm staying.
No, at that point, like, we had already exchanged.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So at that point, it was already her. So, but I already had started one table. So I had to wait for that one table to leave while I sat and watched her make all this money.
Oh, my God.
And it's one thing, like, everybody at work was so rude. Like, I would have been to somebody, like, that made the stupid mistake I did. Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. But everybody kept coming up to me going, you're so dumb. Do you know how much money you lost?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Like, well, they're right.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know. In that moment, I was thinking about just going home, you know?
Yeah.
So she calls me last night and tells me.
The other waitress?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, because she felt bad. She was like, do you want to stay? And she had already started them. I'm like, no, I'm an adult. I made the decision. And then everyone thought that she swindled me because she knew who they were that were coming in. But how could I be swindled? I'm the adult. I made the decision to go home, you know?
Right.
But right after I had said yes, I was like, you're an idiot. You're already here at work. You drove
exactly.
an hour.
You're already there.
I know. I was just in an off place, and I just wanted to be home. Anyway, so the check was like $1,300.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And they left her
$500. Oh, my fucking God. Jesus Christ.
$500. Okay. And that was from one table. She had other tables. And there.
So they spent $1,800 on dinner.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and they come there a lot, and, like, they just have money to throw around. I mean, there's a lot of rich people in, you know, Westlake.
Mm-hmm.
But she called to tell me that she put some money in an envelope for me because she thought it was the right thing to do.
Wow.
And I was like, no, 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 no. And she was like, Sherry, you're my friend. You're, like, the only person that's been nice to me here at work. Da-da-da. Like, I want to. And I was like, I don't need anybody making you feel guilty, and I don't want to take your money. And then she was like, she's like, it's not a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thinking, well, why not?
Might as well be a couple hundred.
Hello? No. So I guess when I get to work, there's supposed to be some money for me. But and the funny thing is that I waited for that one table. So I was there for 2 hours anyway for one table that I made like $30 off of. So I was like the gas money. And then I got some groceries. But
great.
I was home.
So no more energy drinks for you?
No, God, no.
Good.
God, no.
Yeah.
It was just like crack.
Yeah, it's like drugs, you know?
I mean, I had had them before, but not on top of a quadruple latte. Not early in the morning on an empty stomach.
That's too much. Yeah.
It was way too much. Yeah.
And you consciously wanted to get like speedy and everything.
Well,
you know?
I just wanted to have some energy throughout the show because my coffee is usually done within the first 5 minutes. Even when I was driving here this morning, I drank like half of it, like within 5 minutes. I'm like, what is wrong with you, Golden Cherry? How was your day?
How was my day?
Did you give up all millions?
just about, I guess.
Punch myself in the face.
Well, so do you know how much she's going to give you?
No.
No?
No, but she didn't have to give me anything.
Yeah, whatever
so
it is,
bonus.
It's good. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Probably $50 or something.
That was my first thought, too.
Yeah.
And then she was like, it's not a lot. So then I had to start thinking in my head, okay, it's only $20. Like,
yeah,
that way
probably.
I'm like, that way
don't expect a lot.
I don't expect anything, but that way at least I'm not, you know, like.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed.
Right.
Bullshit, you still will be. Where's the couple $100?
No. I know it's not even anywhere close to that. I mean, she worked the whole night and, you know, did that. And then and then my managers are so terrible. They came up to me, like, every time they were opening up a bottle of wine and helping her out, they were like, oh, look, this could have been yours. This could have been yours. Then my manager's like, imagine the irony, Sherry. He's like, you're still here 2 hours later. You could have had. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Like, I made a mistake. Like, let a girl live it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
It was a lot of money, but then I just had to think that wasn't my money to be had. It was supposed to be hers.
Yeah, no, it was supposed to be yours. You just made a poor choice.
Yeah, whatever. I went home and...
Yeah, but it was dumb. I mean, you went all the way there and you were there for 2 hours already.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you just don't want to be where you're at and I just didn't feel it. And I really was okay with my decision, like, I guess.
Your mind was at going back home.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know what, it's an extra shift. I mean, even like the $30 they made was still more than what I had gone in with, and even though I had put all that in gas.
I know. That's a lot of gas you have to waste to go there, huh?
Yeah, it is. But I'm making a lot more money than I was in the other restaurants,
right,
so it all balances
up for
out.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm putting in... Before, I was driving like maybe 60 to 70 miles a week. Now I'm doing like 400 a week.
Wow.
I know. I was like, thank God I got that 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Yeah,
oh my God.
There you go.
It's going to expire in no time.
Yeah, yeah. And you got a rather new car, right?
Yeah, I had gotten a brand new.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's problems all the time, you know?
Well, that's how
can you imagine, like, what time do you get off? Like, 11 or something?
Yeah, 10, 11.
10, 11, yeah. Can you imagine getting stranded, you know?
Well, that's why I wouldn't, that's the only reason I'm working there. Like, I was offered this position a while ago, but I had a sucky car, and so I was like, oh, I'm not taking a chance and driving down there. I could barely make it around the block.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yes, and what else happened
good
yesterday?
Okay, so we were trying to get people to communicate with that girl we talked to yesterday,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, I didn't even get a phone call or an email of a thank you or anything.
Nothing?
You know? No. Amazing.
Maybe she was on the corner crying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it touched a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. It really did.
I was really moved.
It was a difficult show yesterday.
Yeah.
Like it was. I mean, even when I listened back, like I had to fast forward a lot of it.
Really?
Yeah, because I just couldn't listen to it again.
I know. You were like with tears in your eyes for a while there, it seemed.
Well, yeah, because because the hardest part I think is having been through abuse myself, I don't know what I would do if my parents, like the people that you like trust most in this world, like they always tell you, you trust yourself, but like you always like rely on your parents, like if they weren't there for me,
right,
like to help me out through that, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
So just starting
like,
from
what
that,
do you do, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, how what's your outlook on life when your parents don't want you?
Right. Exactly. Like how do you feel, how do you turn that around and like feel loved? Do you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
for yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that was the hardest part for me to have to listen to her with that and then like consistently see the same things happen over and over and over again, like just
right.
really bad things. But then it also makes you think, how does something like all those bad things happen to one person?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a difficult show and it was unexpected. I mean, I knew that we were having a guest, but I didn't realize like
you like didn't
that.
Know what, yeah.
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 She kind of told me the backstory, but, I was still very moved.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, and I hope that, you know, something can come of this, you know, in her telling her story and all
yeah,
that, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, when you do things like this and stuff, you start, like, changing your the way of looking at things
mm-hmm.
and stuff, you know?
Well, I had a couple of people that wrote me and said, you know, I feel foolish now about, like, thinking about my own problems
right.
and things like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, if that's what it does, you know, if her story does that for one person, you know what I mean, puts their life in perspective, you know, it's really sad for her, and I feel for her, and I don't want anyone to go through that. But, you know, if other people can, like, take something from it, it's all, you
yeah,
know, not that
yeah.
it's worth it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It was a downer, but I think it was important.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I think
whoever we're answering there.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever we're helping, you know, you never know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I wanted to announce that today for anybody who gives a shit that Windows 7 is coming out
I know.
Today. And, I don't know that it's a big deal for you.
No. I love stuff. No, I just got a new laptop a few months ago and I have, all I have to do is turn in the proof of purchase and then
right.
I get the Windows 7
I'll
with
give
my
you the
computer.
Upgrade, yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah.
My non-technical part of me is like, oh, well, I don't think it really takes someone technical to print something up, but my printer's not working. And so I've been putting it off forever and the letter and everything that I need to get the Windows 7. And then I'm thinking, do I need the Windows 7?
Yeah, you don't necessarily need it. You know, if you haven't had problems with Vista, don't worry about
no,
it.
No, I heard all these terrible things about Vista and then I got it and I was like, well, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's kind of Mac-ish almost.
Yeah.
Like with the, you know, the way it pops up.
Exactly.
But what is Windows 7?
But
like,
that's just the interface. I mean, it looks good, but as far as the way it works and stuff, there's been a lot of problems with it.
Like what?
You know, like compatibility problems,
all
kinds of different things, you know.
Is Windows 7 supposed to be a lot better with that?
Yeah. It looks almost the same.
Uh-huh.
But it's supposed to take care of a lot of problems and stuff. So
I'm all just about the looks.
You're like, who gives a shit?
Well, no, I mean, if it's, you know, I haven't really had problems.
Right.
Well, I've had problems with my actual laptop, which I should probably take back since I have a warranty, but.
Yeah. What kind of problems do you have?
It's always like, it shuts down as like doing dump memory or
really?
Whatever. It kind of does that. And then it says, you know, and so then it gives me some number of something that's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure right before the warranty expires, I'll change it in. Just too lazy.
Yeah. But it's not, you see, what most people don't understand is when these things happen to you, you don't need a new computer to fix it. You just need to reinstall Windows on there. You know, I'm sure you're not, you probably don't know how to do it. But bring your laptop. I'll do it for you. But you have to back up everything first. But the problem is usually with the software. It's not the hardware, you know? So, yeah. So if
but
you
no,
take
but
it back,
if it says, I don't know, dump memory crash, like it just like, you know, and just like shuts it down and then it turns back on with the blue screen and all that
stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's Windows for you.
Oh.
So you're enjoying Vista.
Oh, okay. Because this never happened to me before. No. But I thought it was my laptop.
Yeah. No, no. Well, it is, but, I mean, but not the hardware part
of it. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you don't have to go back and
you say
get
back
it
up and I'm just like,
yeah, what does that mean? It means copying all your files.
Okay. First of all, smartass, I know what it means. It's more about how do I do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have like a little mini thingy, right?
Yeah, a mini thingy.
Uh-huh.
It won't fit on there now.
Oh, because
you probably have like
a
lot of pictures and songs and stuff like that.
I'm a little embarrassed that I have anyone look at my laptop because then when you like go in the history, it's like red tube, red tube, red tube, red tube, red tube.
Okay, well, bring it in one day. I'll do it for you, you know?
Just don't look at
I mean, reinstalling Windows is like open heart surgery, you know, but it's worth it sometimes.
So does it mean I have to pay you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you watch RedTube. I'll let you see which ones. Because there's the names in there. I'll be so embarrassed.
Do you save them on your hard drive?
No, I don't save anything. There. But, you know, like they're in your history.
You bookmark there? Oh, in your history.
Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that when I like went and took my laptop in, my old one, to get fixed and stuff, right when they hit the thing, it just showed up. And I was like, oh,
I'm sure.
Hi, it's my boyfriend's.
Yeah.
My boyfriend uses my computer a lot.
Well, you need to understand computers a little more. I mean, there's a way for the history not to stay there.
Yeah, you delete cookies, right?
No, you delete a lot of things. No, but you do clear history, and now most browsers have, like, private surfing, so it doesn't keep track of anything that you do.
Oh.
You know, so you might want to consider that.
Probably.
If other people have access to your computer.
Well, I mean, only if it gets broken. That's the only access that they have. Because in my own, like, personal thing, I put a password on my, you know, because I have guest and then Sherry.
Right.
So I put a password on there.
I see. Okay, and that helps?
Well, yeah, because then people can't go under my thing unless I let them.
Yeah, but they can log in as guests and still find those things. I mean, they may
not
see... Oh,
it's not a separate...
No, no. I mean, they probably won't see the history, but they'll see other things in your computer, you know. So be careful. Yeah?
Okay.
Don't save any videos.
No, I don't. I really don't. I really don't. I'm really, like, super afraid of viruses. Like,
yeah.
Ridiculously like afraid of viruses.
Yeah, it
so
is ridiculous.
I don't really download anything, and like when my friend always wants to like download music on my computer, I'm like, no. Like, I'm really OCD about lots of things, like even on my phone. Like anytime I get a phone call and I'm like, delete.
Yeah.
I have like this, I have a deletion problem. Like when I said,
I know, I do that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do that.
Because otherwise there's like chaos, you know, there's too much information.
I like, my friend used to be like, oh no, Sherry, you're getting a phone call. You better delete it. Go. I'm like, shut up. And then we would have like TiVo, and you know how you can get like a certain amount of hours of like TV time. If they didn't watch their shows within a week, I'm like, you need to watch that, because I had to get the hours back to like 35, like the maximum number of hours possible. They're like, you're a freak. I'm like, I don't know. It's like the one thing, I guess, in my life that I can keep in order is, you know, those little things and stuff.
Shows,
everything else is chaos.
Give you a certain amount of control.
Yeah.
Or a sense of control, anyway.
Yeah. My other OCD is weird. Like, you know, on digital clocks, how they have, now they have the little lines, like for the numbers and stuff. I count those little lines in my head, but before it turns, like, say it's like 10:33, before it turns 10:34 in my head, I think, how many little dashes are going to be there for the four?
Oh. That's fucking important to know.
You're telling me. My brain obviously thinks it is, and then I'm like, I'm brilliant. I guess once again, it's like, I've got to find brilliance.
Yeah, you do. You have to look for it.
Because it's really not my political brilliance. It reminds me. I had a friend. Okay. I have a friend who like consistently listens to the show and is really in support of like my career and things that I do, and wrote me this long text email yesterday about some things that I say on the show and that I might be offending the world at large, and that I should think about some of the things that I put out there.
Really?
Regarding the Bible.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well,
what did we talk about the Bible?
Not you, me, because I'm ignorant about the Bible.
I see.
And
okay.
That maybe I shouldn't be saying things if I don't know. And we had this whole long discussion, and I'm really open to, you know, getting feedback. And he was saying to me, he said, Sherry, it's not like you guys you're talking about the president or a magazine or whatever. He was like, you're talking about the most read text in the world.
Right.
And he said, and because you haven't read it cover to cover, he was like, it's uneducated. And I said, yeah, but I also say constantly, I haven't read the Bible. This is just my opinion of what I think. And my question is, do I need to read something in its entirety to know, like, what I, like, I have an opinion about it anyway. Like, whatever the facts are in there, like, just the whole thing in itself, like, I have an opinion about, you know?
Right.
And I'm not here to offend people at all, you know? But I don't think I'm always going to please everybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's offensive in any way.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. But that's because you don't really...
There's not knowing the Bible...
But I mean,
I
think maybe my opinions of the Bible or judgments, and I don't think that he has a problem with me, like, not agreeing with the Bible or, like, what it is. I think what he was trying to say to me is that if I want to have a career, just like in life in general, and he's like, you know, you're in the infancy of your broadcasting and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, that if it's important for me not to offend people, then I need to be careful of some of the things that I do say, you know, if I want to move on.
Yeah. Well, I don't happen to agree, but you know.
No, I'm just kind of throwing that out there and trying to get like your opinion on that as well, because you know the Bible is very serious to a lot of people, you know.
Right.
And I said, like, I respect it. It's one thing. I feel like I'm offensive if I tell people that they're wrong.
Right.
I don't never think anybody's wrong. Yeah.
You criticized, you know, certain beliefs or something. You know, that would be judgment.
No, I'm like open to everybody's beliefs. I just particularly have my own, you know, kind of thing. So.
Yeah. No, don't let one person make you crazy, you know? I mean, it's not worth it. You can't please everybody,
you know?
I mean, you've got thousands of people listening. Somebody's not going to like what you have to say, you know?
Right. Well, I think, like I said, I don't think that he was talking about that I don't agree with the Bible, just that I'm uneducated about it, and so should I be speaking about things that I'm not educated about?
Yes, you should. You do anyway.
I know, lots of things. That's what I said. I was like, if that's the case, I was like, I won't be able to talk about anything.
Yeah, what the hell?
Because I only know, like, a couple of lines of things. You know, I report news stories, and I'm like, is that true? I hope so, because I just put that out there. So, so I had to think about that a lot, too. Yesterday was a difficult day.
It was, huh?
Yeah, and then I had to be all adult with this Buddhist guy. I had to have, like, an adult conversation.
An adult conversation.
Yeah, which I felt really adult-like
afterwards. So you're noticing that you've seen him every day now, right?
Am I noticing it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the elephant is still in the living room? In the middle of the room? No? Sherry.
I don't know what you're talking about. That elephant was my friend, remember?
I see. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was my friend.
It's not you.
So we had a really adult conversation yesterday, like on the phone, like, it's basically, we were talking about, you know, the pressures of sex and all that. And one of my friends were, but whatever, it was me.
Right.
And, come to find out, like, his ex-wife, like, their issue was, is that he ended up getting married. And one of the main things is that she wasn't really into sex, and he wished she would have known that beforehand. So his pressuring, like, is he's carrying over something from his past relationship, you know, of trying to, like, find out right away about, like, the sex, you know, and if a girl's sexual and all this kind of stuff. And my issue is that I always was around men that just want sex and leave. So those two issues together don't work very well, because he's pressuring and I'm trying to take my time, and it's just, you know, and we ended up realizing through texting an hour on my drive to work. I know.
Doing 80 miles an hour.
Well, you know, there's traffic. Yeah. It wasn't really 80 at some point. That we each have our own issues that we're carrying over with us, and that we were basically like reflections of one another. I mean, like mirrors for each other. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so like his issue in his face, and I'm mine. And so we just had to talk and work it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the decision? We're getting it on this weekend?
No, last night.
Oh, last night.
No.
That's what I thought.
No.
No? No, you don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't. No.
It's okay. We can change the subject.
Okay. No, the decision, though, it's important to say the decision was is that we're both going to be aware of the other person, you know, and the issues, and try to be, he's going to be more patient with me, and I'm going to, you know, basically we're not going to bring our stuff from other people, or at least try not to.
Personally, I think you guys talk too much.
Especially
you really do.
Out
you
for
analyze
a week.
The shit
and
out of it.
I've been hanging out for a week, right?
Yeah.
I know, and he was like, why is it in text? Why is it so fucking complicated? I'm like, I agree. I was like, can we just let this go?
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I'm glad we can finally agree on something. And I said, one thing? Are you kidding me? I was like, we agree on more than we disagree, Mr. Half Full Glass. And then I just had to let it go. But yeah, we talk too much.
You do.
But I think that was his opinion too. That's why he wanted sex.
Yeah.
Just shut up and
exactly. It's got to be. It's got to come naturally. You
yeah,
know?
I agree.
Yeah. You guys have talked about it way too much.
Uh huh. Yeah. I agree. I'm like, well, I said that in a text. I said, you act like we've been dating for a long time. We've hung out for a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've already like issues already.
Do you think you're just not that into him?
Wow.
I don't expect an answer.
Good.
But you know what? I mean, people looking from the sidelines, you know.
Uh-huh.
You guys are talking too much about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, those questions have to go through your head. It's like, you know, things shouldn't be this difficult right in the beginning. And then sometimes, but then I also thought, well, no, because maybe it just means that we can know how to communicate.
Yeah,
well.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of people don't communicate. And after we had that conversation, I really felt that we had, like, taken a step forward because we actually understood each other,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah, no, yeah. Whatever. My soulmate's still meeting me at my roof at 4 a.m. every day. And he's getting pissed off with me. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Should we get to our book for today?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I found a really interesting book.
Well, I read
but
it on
it's
Facebook.
Fun.
Yeah, no, I read it on Facebook this morning.
It's called So You're Cremated, Now What?
I was like, really? All right, let's talk about cremation. That's
no, but it was interesting because I started reading it, and it was really interesting, uh-huh. You know? Like, for example, he mentions how... you know, when you're buried in a casket or something with a grave, right?
Uh-huh.
He says, you know, after 2-3 generations, you're just there. Nobody even knows you exist because think about it. You know, like, did you know your great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother? No, right?
No.
So you, when was the last time you went to their grave?
Well,
you
I
know
didn't
what
know
I'm
them.
Saying?
Right. Yeah. Yes. No, no, I get
so,
you.
You know,
you.
After a couple of generations. So it doesn't matter anyway where you end up, you know?
Well, it matters. I think I had to think about this on the drive over here besides Sam Shine. I had to, like, it's not really about us, though. It's really for our family members, is I think what the funeral is and, like, where you place your body.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, look, he's going to tell us. I mean, you can still be cremated and have a grave, you know, and just put it in one place, you know? But
what's the difference with that? Who's going to come see your cremation generations from now?
Nobody.
See, if I was cremated, I'd like want to be like sprinkled like over, I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts.
Disgusting.
I don't know. Oh, I didn't mean like that, like on a donut. I was just trying to think of some like place with food, really. My brain's dead.
Well, we're going to get some ideas
when
we talk to Jesse Calfell, and we're going to call him right now.
Okay.
And like I said, the book is So You're Cremated, Now What?
Over
100 creative ways to scatter your ashes.
Hello, Jesse.
Yes, Jesse, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Sam and Sherry. Yes, calling you from L.A. How are you doing?
I'm well. How's the connection on my end?
So-so. Are you on a speakerphone?
I am.
Okay. If you can pick up the phone, it would be a lot better.
Let me switch over to my handset.
Yes, if you can, please.
All right, let's see what happens.
Yeah, on radio, it's just not the same.
Hello?
Yes. Okay, it sounds about the same. You sure you picked up the headset? Okay.
Hello, is this better?
Yes. Well, actually, yeah, I guess it's going to have to be better. Jesse, so good morning to you. You know, the hell with the technical problems. Where are we calling you?
I'm north of Boston in a wonderful town called Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Ooh, I think I've heard of that, and I've seen pictures.
Really? You were you lived in Boston for a while, no? Sure.
No, I spent 6 weeks doing a restaurant opening there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So 6 weeks felt like living there.
Yeah. Have you lived there all your life, Jesse?
Actually, I'm a New York City boy.
Oh, I see. It seems like all writers come from New York. I don't know what that is. There must be like a muse there or something, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of torment, you know, and torment creates great writers.
Yeah.
Think about death, obviously.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. So you got into the idea of cremation, really, after your mom was passing away, and then you started thinking about this. Can you give us a little background on what happened?
I can. Actually, when my father died at a fairly young age, my mother I think she had a feeling of being abandoned, and so in her decision-making process to find a cemetery and burial plots, she chose to get one single plot.
Right.
So now we fast forward to her at the age of 93. And by the way, she is still alive at 97. But
oh,
at
I'm sorry. Okay, I got it
that's
wrong.
Okay.
Yes.
But at the age of 93, I felt I had to have that uncomfortable conversation about, okay, Mom, when it's your time, what do we do?
Right.
And so I said, we could get a double plot and, you know, exhume Dad and put you next to him. And she said, no, that's, you know, leave him where he is, you know, he's comfortable. And I said, well, we could get a single plot. And she said, no, that's really way too lonely for me. I want something else. So I said, well, there is cremation. And I had an aunt and uncle who did choose that. And she said, well, what did the kids do with their ashes? And I said, well, they actually put them inside of a memorial wall. And she said, so what's the difference between like a casket and a memorial wall? I'm going to feel like trapped. I want to do something that's a little bit more expansive and creative. And so that's the kind of person my mother is. She's a very creative artist, actually. And so I said, well, look, let me do some research. And in the meantime, you think of places that you'd like to be scattered. And so that was the beginning of doing research about cremation and choices and scattering options, and it just got into all kinds of interesting areas, legal areas, environmental areas, urn choices, scattering choices. And when I went out into the to do research, especially on the internet, I found that there were bits and pieces scattered all around, but they were very somber pieces, you know, probably written by funeral directors. I don't know if they have a great sense of humor, but yeah, it was all pretty dry.
Uh-huh.
And nothing in one place, so.
Yeah. So,
start.
Yeah. Now, that is interesting. Are you aware of, like, what kind of percentage of people choose cremation over traditional burial?
Well, in the United States, 40% of Americans are choosing cremation, and it goes up every year. And in Europe, the average, the estimates that I found was a lot higher, like 80-90%, and wow, in Asia it's almost 100% due to their culture.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I heard they actually cremate people like outdoors, right, with everybody watching and stuff.
What?
In some places in Asia, is that correct?
Yeah, in India, I had a friend who went to India, and they have these funeral pyres like they did in Roman times, and the bodies are put, you know, wrapped nicely in shrouds, and, you know, very, you know, reverent kind of pre-cremation ceremony. But the weird thing is that when the fire reaches the skull, they hear a popping sound.
Yeah.
That sounds like public execution to me. Like, honestly, like, that's weird.
Yeah, my brother was present at one, and he said that the smell was just, you know, yeah.
So
well, back in Roman times, when cremation was very popular, it was, in fact, so popular that the emperor, and I don't remember which one, had to put out an edict to take the cremation ceremonies out of town because it was, like, getting as bad as L.A. smog.
Yeah.
Wow. That's bad.
Yeah. So that's a lot of people. I mean, 40%, it's almost half the people choose to be cremated. That's amazing.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's this is a difficult subject for people to, you know, to talk about. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to write the book, because I think that, you know, with humor, you can broach very difficult subjects.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, when I first saw the subject matter, I thought, well, who would want to talk about this? But your book is entertaining, it is funny, and you really explain. I mean, I think most people don't even get into cremation, like what it's about, how many people do it, all kinds of things. And so it was like refreshing reading for me, you know?
Well, I mean, when I thought of the subject matter, I was like, ugh. And then you look at the cover of the book, and, like, I want to open up the book. I'm, like, really curious about the different ways, like, what to do with them. Were you surprised at what you found?
Here's a question for your listening audience, which is, you know, raise your hands if you think you're going to live forever.
Right.
And unless you have some vampires out there that listen to your radio show, you know, we all kind of do the, you know, that's one thing that is a common denominator amongst all people. You know, there is a point where, you know, our life ends.
Right.
And the other thing is, if you don't mind, I want to just read you quickly a list and tell me what's wrong with this list, okay?
Okay.
All right. Expired, passed away, passed on, breathed her last breath, departed, met his maker, gave up the ghost, kicked the bucket, bought the farm, is pushing up daisies with the angels now, left this earthly plane, he succumbed, she popped off, breathed his last breath, has croaked, cashed in his chips, went peacefully, bought the farm, went to that great radio show in the sky.
Yeah.
So,
so
what's that word that's missing?
Died.
Died. Death. Died. Right.
Wow.
Didn't he outsmart sometimes?
Like talking about.
Yeah.
Sherry, you get the prize here.
Yeah, well, there you go. You get to be cremated at your favorite place.
Over Dunkin'
Donuts. Well, I've got a suggestion for Sherry. I understand that you want to be an actress, so you are an actress.
Yes.
So my thought is you take your ashes or have someone take your ashes to Grumman Theater.
Yeah.
And when they pour that star down for you, they mix your ashes into the cement.
There you go. There you go.
I kind of like
and
that idea.
And she's in Hollywood, too, so it's not a big walk.
I kind of like that idea, but I also plan on changing the Hollywood sign to Sherrywood. So,
there you go. Yeah.
So I'm thinking about sprinkling that up there as well.
Yeah. We can't leave that out. So this is interesting. Now, you do mention, and I know that firsthand, that some religions do not allow cremation, right?
That's true. Most Christian denominations do. The Catholics were not allowed to cremate until 1963 or 4 when the Pope said, okay, you can do cremation, but there was a requirement that you did not get scattered. There's a thought that God could not find you if you're scattered. Now, I'm not quite sure I agree that, you know, I mean, God can do anything. But,
yeah, there you go.
That's, you know, and then very religious Jews and Muslims cannot get cremated.
Right.
And, of course, if you're Jewish and you do get cremated, there are places that you certainly can't be scattered,
Lomans.
Okay. You can't be scattered at Lomans.
Uh-huh.
Lomans is a very big department store where there are lots of sales. Or
yeah, that's what I thought you meant, but I wasn't sure.
I know, I was like, do I laugh? Because it sounds like a store.
You can be scattered at Grossman's, you know, that's a resort in the Catskills, or where they invented pastrami in Romania. Those are like taboo places.
So what are some of the common places that people have their ashes scattered?
Well, you know, people can actually, the way I've organized my book is it starts off with staying put. So if you do choose cremation and you don't want to leave home, you know, there's clearly the traditional urn, which can be put on the fireplace mantle, or, you know, if your kids don't really like you, you'll be put in the back of a closet or in the attic.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you want to go outside the house, you know, people do scatter ashes, especially if you live out in the country. You know, in the garden, under a memorial tree, you know, certainly around, you know, close by. And there's certainly some famous people that have chosen that. Other people, like Lucille Ball, for instance, was buried. She was cremated and actually buried in a traditional cemetery. So that is a choice for some people.
Right.
When you want to think outside of the box and outside of the home, then you have hundreds of scattering options in terms of where you could be scattered. And my book covers probably a few hundred ideas of where you could be scattered. Again, it's a reflection of your, you know, your personality and, you know, what you liked in life and then who you are, you know, as a person. If you want something serious, there are serious options. If you have a sense of humor or a sense of drama, or a sense of theater, then right. There are other options. And then, of course, there are things you can do with your ashes which don't require scattering, but that you can actually be turned into.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, turned into?
Yep. There, for instance, a growing popular choice is actually being mixed in with a artificial reef.
Huh.
And dropped into the ocean in a place where there is a need for a reef.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the hots for King Neptune or Little Mermaid, there you go.
You go in the ocean.
there is also a company that will turn take the carbon out of your ashes and turn you into a diamond. And
wow.
That way you'll have real value to somebody in yeah. your afterlife.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of how I could be turned into a coffee bean.
there's all kinds of, you know, unusual things that people can do with their ashes. Of course, the obvious one is being turned into an ashtray.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you want to do with yourself? Where do you want to be scattered?
Well, I have a few favorite scattering places that that appeal to me.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a bit of an ego, I'd like to be put into a time. You know, you don't have to do one thing with your ashes. You can do things as you can think of. I'd like to put some of my ashes into a time capsule with some of my favorite things that I enjoyed in life, and get buried somewhere, and then hopefully some alien civilization will dig me up in 1,000 years, and they'll probably look at my ash dust and just throw it away.
Yeah.
What was that? And then also for a sense of drama, I'm thinking fireworks. Hunter Thompson and Graham Chapman from Monty Python. Hunter Thompson was the very irreverent writer. They both had their ashes packed into fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And shot off. Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow.
That's an ego.
You know, it's like, to me, cremation sounds like so final, you know? I mean, as though, you're going to come back to life if you're in a casket.
Right, because there's no chance cremated that you're coming back.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. In my research, I asked people, what they would prefer, burial or cremation. And the people that were not for burial see themselves, this is the funny thing, they still see themselves as alive in a casket. And do you remember that old song, "The Worms Crawl In, The Worms Crawl Out"?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I won't go through the rest of it. It might be too gross. But, so they see themselves, trapped in this dark coffin and kind of spooky. And then the people who don't want cremation see themselves as still alive, feeling, the fire, turning them into a crispy critter. So the world is divided into people in terms of how they see themselves when they're really, right now, just a package left over.
Right.
I mean, this
and
is...
Of course, go ahead.
No. I was...
There's a third option that's kind of weird, which is taxidermy, but... I didn't get into that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know. That doesn't sound very appealing.
No, I was just thinking that this is definitely an option for me because I'm really afraid of the morticians, how they're going to do my makeup. because I've seen some bad corpses. I'm like, that was awful. So at least now you don't have to worry about it with cremation.
Yeah.
People
That's
looking
right.
at you.
And you have a lot more, a lot more choices, a lot more creativity. Yeah. In terms of, it's your final production, and I think one of the things that's appealing, actually, because I can tell this story, I was talking to this woman recently who her husband had terminal cancer, and they were planning what they wanted, to do, and he said, well, I want to be cremated. And so he said, well, here's what I'd like, and his first choice was to be buried on the golf course that he loved to go to, okay? And the groundskeeper said, that's a great idea. We'll put you on the first hole. You can see all your friends who don't play golf well, and you can laugh at them. But his other idea was that he wanted his wife to take little portions of his ashes and take him around on all the vacations that she would go on and have a very special ceremony, private ceremony, to wherever she went. So the idea is that cremation shouldn't always be thought about, like something that occurs when you die. It's also a process for people who are still living to have a very visual idea that connects them to, what's going to happen afterwards. They see themselves on the golf course, or they see themselves in a favorite spot, or with their wives. And for the living, for this woman, the wife, it gave her a connection to her husband, that she could continue some connection with him after he passed on.
That sounds morbid to me, but
well, especially if you're trying to move on with your life and you're having an intimate moment, you really want your ex watching you.
Well, that's true. When a friend of mine, his wife scattered ashes underneath the bed, she said, just because mom's under the bed doesn't mean we can't have sex anymore.
Oh, God.
So, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, the book is, so you're cremated, now what? And we're talking to Jesse Kalfel, right? And do you have a website connected to the book by any chance?
I do. It's crematednowwhat.com, and you can find out a little bit more about the book. And if you're interested in purchasing it, I have some links to Amazon where you can find it and barnesandnoble.com. And I just actually got a call from Patch Adams yesterday.
Really?
If you remember, he was played by Robin Williams played him in the movie.
Right.
And he just read the book and said he runs this thing called the Gesundheit Institute, and one of his programs is Fun with Death, and also he has clowns that go to the hospital for people that have terminal illnesses, and he said this book is really something that people in hospices should be getting hold of, and just, you know,
nice.
People, again, broaching an uncomfortable subject in a humorous way. Right.
Uncomfortable, but inevitable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm starting to hear myself double here. So, Jesse, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on the book.
And thank you so much.
Of course. When was it published?
It came out this summer, so it's hot off the press, and like I said, if there's a blog on my website, if you have scattering stories or if you have any questions, you can send them to me.
Sounds good. Okay, Jesse, thank you. I'm sorry.
Can I make an offer?
Of course.
For the first 10 people that send me an email from my website, I will send them an autographed copy of my book.
Nice.
Sounds good. That's very nice of you. And the book is a lot of fun, like I said. Not something that I might pick up in the store, but once you look at it, it's really interesting.
Uh-huh.
It really is, and entertaining. Jesse, thanks again. All the best to you, and again, good luck with the book.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye. Very nice,
yeah,
fun man.
Totally.
Yeah.
I like fun people.
Yeah.
Now I'm like seriously going to think about where I want to be scattered.
I know.
I didn't want to be cremated until now. Well, I don't know if I want to be scattered though, because I really do want people to go to my spot and say how great I was and cry.
There you go, you know?
Oh, Sherry, we miss you. And if I'm scattered somewhere, they can't really do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people make pilgrimage to your grave and stuff. You
know? I
like
the Hollywood star thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
My ego's really not that big.
No. It is, Sherry.
Shut
you just
it.
Don't notice
no,
it.
No, it's not.
It's too big.
I just play it up.
All right. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
Sherry are ready to take your phone calls. Dial 323-203-0815 to get on the air. Now, once again, here are your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
It's us. It's us.
We didn't turn into anybody else.
So I was having a cigarette, and I'm looking at the ashes, and I don't want to be cremated.
I didn't think I ever really wanted to be cremated. Yeah. That's pretty funny. But it's not like you're going to know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we're not allowed in our religion anyway.
If you're Orthodox.
Oh,
because that's what he said.
Yeah. Well, my grandparents wouldn't. We talked about cremation, and they're like, oh, yeah. We can't.
I know.
They told me I wasn't allowed.
They might not even put you in the cemetery.
Well, because I have tattoos.
People. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have like 2 tattoos and you're not allowed to have them or something.
Okay, well, get rid of them before you die.
It's cremated, and I won't have to worry about it.
Here you're going to be lonely outside the cemetery.
Oh. I don't like, I used to hate thinking about death. Like, yeah. And actually, the only time I've thought about death is I always said that when my mom didn't love it, but she would love at the same time when I said that when she died, I was going to kill myself.
Yeah.
I used to tell her that all the time because I was like, I can't live without you, Mom.
I know.
And now she's like, you moved 3,000 miles away from me. I was like, well, I couldn't live without you then because you were supporting me.
I know. I've been fortunate. There's not been a lot of death in my family during my life. But I know a lot of people like have to deal with it all the time.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I do too.
Some families, it's just people drop off. You know?
Yeah, I know. And it's, I think it's really hard. Like I've written, I mean, I have a really small family and I've lost like both grandparents in my family. And I've never seen like people break down like the way they do there. And I write eulogies. We talked about that the other day. Yeah, I think that it's really important to talk about people's lives and what they meant to you and stuff like that. And it's your chance to be able to
do that. Was thinking about this. You know, I thought when I die, I want people to be happy, you know, to sort of like celebrate my life.
Yeah, and not make, exactly. And all
but it's hard to do because it's a sense of loss, you know.
Right.
I mean, you don't feel you want to celebrate.
And that's what it is, really. I mean, it's about, I mean, the funeral and everything is not for the dead person. It's really about, you know, the people that are like, you know,
the people that stayed behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I agree.
Tough subject again.
Tough subject.
I don't want to die ever.
I know.
Unless I have a lot more wrinkles.
I know. When I was young, I used to think, how's the world going to go on without me?
And I'm the one with the ego? I'm the one with the ego. Okay. This morning I went to Starbucks. Surprise. Oh, which by the way, okay, when you get the Starbucks card, like a gift card, when you purchase it, they take off like your soy milk and your sugar-free syrups or whatever. So, and it doesn't cost anything. You just put money down on the card. So now my drinks are going to be cheaper every day. And I didn't realize that all this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my drinks are cheaper than they ever were. But anyway, Starbucks, top floor. And then you go down to the garage. I'm like looking out the window because I'm, you know, trying to connect with God. And as I'm talking to God, the elevator starts going down. Uh-huh. And I just felt like I was going to hell. It was like the strangest feeling. Because here I am like looking out this window elevator talking to God. And then it starts just going down into the garage. And I was like, okay, bye. I guess we're not having a good relationship today. Just felt like I was going to hell for some reason. And I had to think about everything I did. I was like, oh, it was last night.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know how you can live with yourself.
Here we go again. Your life must be so difficult. How do you look at yourself every day?
No, not that, but the last night thing where you passed up on the table.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying not to keep remembering it, but obviously you keep reminding me too. Just like everybody else did. Yeah. It's not your money, people. I already have to go home and be like, okay, you could have $500 more.
That's true, yeah.
That would have been money for my trip.
Plus, if you didn't have the energy to work, then the hell
I would have been miserable.
They might have not left you $500.
No, they would have left me more.
Yeah.
No, I guess they're...
That's a lot of fucking money.
No, I know. Well, they're pretty much regulars there, and they don't usually live that big of a tip, but they said last night that, you know, they appreciate all the good service and everything, and they wanted to take care of this person.
It's amazing that people have that kind of money.
I know.
Spend $2,000 on a fucking dinner. Yeah.
I know. Like, wow. It was mainly on the wines. They were buying, like, $200 bottles of wine.
Really?
Yeah. And I think they had, like, 3 bottles of it or something.
Yeah, because I would imagine. I mean, how much can people eat for $1,800? That's a lot of money.
I mean, like, some of our steaks, like, I mean, are, like, $45, $50. So.
Really?
Yeah, but that's, like, our top of the line.
Right.
Like, bone-in.
Yeah.
I love saying that to my tables, too. Oh, I was thinking about cremation, and I kept wanting to say all these, like, sexual things, like, I'll scatter my ashes on someone's face. But I was like, respect the guest.
Yeah,
respect
I'm glad
the
you
guest.
Didn't do
Thank
that.
You. Yeah. I have some sort of class.
Yeah, some boundaries.
boyfriend. I didn't know if he'd find it funny, although he might have, but, you know, still don't take the chance.
Not take a chance. Okay. You ready for sharing with Sherry?
I guess once you bring it up, I have to be.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, that's not the one.
Oh, boy.
Take your face and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there so I can come on it. Take your face and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there so I can come on it. You like it when I come on your face, and now it's time for sharing, sharing with Sherry. So open wide and take my load, you love it. You love it because you told me so. It's time for sharing with Sherry.
Okay. Is that a whole new production of it? Because it sounds like there's a lot more instruments involved. Is that a new version of it?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just appreciating it more now.
Yeah, you got to be flattered. I mean, people take out the time.
I know my family's flattered.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, we'll play your usual song.
Get me inspired here.
There you go. Do we have to listen to this every day?
Do I have to look at you every day? We'll stop this after a while.
No, I like it.
There are people around the country that are singing it around
yeah,
their houses.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So.
Your name is a household name.
Then again, they sing the alphabet song, so it doesn't take much, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, I was like looking at what I brought in to read today, and I'm like, that's long.
Good, I can take a snooze.
You're such a jerk. Okay, everybody, turn down your speakers. Well, I think this is important because I'm kind of going through it myself, and it's about, it's called The Journey of Finding a Relationship. Mm-hmm. And I talk about a lot about relationships, obviously, because my lack thereof, and but how much time that I have spent with myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
I'm trying to get better at this. I'm not talking for 8 hours. Okay. So it says, before we embark upon the journey of finding the relationship that's right for us, we may want to take the opportunity to refine our concept of who we are and our ideas of what we want from life. That way, we are clearer on the kind of person we want to attract into our lives. Part of the journey of finding a mate is learning how to become our own mate. When we can learn to meet our needs without relying on someone else to complete us, we don't have to form relationships from the space of needing our emptiness to be filled. We can also discover how intrinsic value, separate from what someone else might be reflecting back to us. Getting to know who we are and learning to love ourselves creates a solid foundation of self that we can bring to any relationship. We are fortunate to live in a time when relationships can unfold at a pace that is right for us and take unique forms. Friendship, dating, open relationships, long-term relationships, long-distance relationships, or committed relationships, we are free to choose the kind of relationships that you want, that we want. If you want to be in a relationship but haven't found the right one for you, remember that the universe works in perfect order, and therefore, right now, your life is unfolding exactly as it is meant to be. Maybe all this time has been part of your preparation period for meeting your intended partner. Even the relationships in our lives that haven't worked out as we had hoped serve us by teaching us to make better choices in our next relationship. Finding the relationship we want can come early or later in life. It may even happen again and again in one lifetime. There is no right or wrong for how to find a relationship, nor is there a timeline that you have to follow. Follow your heart, listen to your inner voice, continue to become your own soulmate, and stay open to love. The journey of finding the right relationship begins with being in the right relationship with yourself.
Makes sense.
I probably could have made that a lot shorter with my own explanation, but I really feel like I always say, like, all these years, like, single, like, I feel like I'm really being prepped really well for, like, the relationship. But I don't think that anybody can have a healthy relationship unless, you know, you can have one with yourself. And it's such a cliche, but it really is true. So many people go into relationships for the wrong reasons, you know.
Right.
And I think completing and having all those aspects of yourself, then it's a lot easier to then just take who you are, join it with somebody else, like, share it, love it, live it.
There you go.
There you go.
Share it with Sherry.
Share yourself with Sherry. That was a boring one today, but that's okay. I can't be brilliant every day.
I was sitting here debating, do I play the snore sound effect?
Oh, you should have. It would have been funny.
No. I know it would have been funny, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
No, I mean, you're into it, and it makes a lot of sense, too, you know?
Well, I think certain, like for me, when things are worded in a certain way, I just kind of get it, and I think some people respond to some, and, you know,
right.
That's why I post a lot of these, and then you'll have certain people that are like, oh, I so needed to hear that today. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's always, again, that one person that needs to hear something that, you know, maybe this is helping somebody out there.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. So we're all here.
Hopefully it helps you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this one I've had since November of 2008.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't know if it's helped much. I need to read it more. No. I'm really in a good place. I keep telling myself that every day. I'm in a good place. Yeah. I love myself.
You make me sick.
Maybe you need to read these things a little more. Kindness inspires kindness, Samuel. Yes.
I am kind.
I know. Okay. I know you are.
Yeah.
I know you are.
In fact, last night, mm-hmm. I took my son and we went to visit his grandfather.
Okay.
Whom I haven't seen probably.
This is his mother's father. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
His mother's actually stepfather, but
okay.
Regardless. So it's like my ex-in-law.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in many years. Maybe 2 or 3 years or something. Since we split up again and all that stuff, you know.
Which was how long ago again?
That was a long time ago, but no, actually I saw him like during my, at my son's bar mitzvah. So
okay.
That was like 3 years ago.
Okay.
But at any rate, you know, he's like in a home right now, you know, he's got like Parkinson's and that. And, I've been telling my son, you know, it's like, it's the worst feeling to be in a place like that, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff, and we should go visit. So we decided to go visit him yesterday. We got him his favorite ice cream and stuff.
Aww.
And we went there, and he was so elated to see me, you know? He was just, like, so excited.
Yeah.
And but, he can't hardly move, so I was feeding him the ice cream, uh-huh. you know? And it felt, like, so weird, but I thought, wow, I'm like a Mother Teresa.
Okay. you just took away all the goodness.
Let me live in the moment.
You just took away any sort of goodness that was in you by, like,
why?
By patting yourself on the back and calling yourself Mother Teresa. All the goodness that I was feeling towards you was just like, okay, you did it for your own ego.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just kidding. No, yeah. That, I remember.
No, I mean, it was a great feeling for me, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
I felt, sometimes, you know, when you give, it's like more for you than for the other person, you know?
It really they always say you get good. More out of, like, I mean, as much as you're doing for the other person, you get so much more joy out of giving because you see how happy it makes them.
Right.
You know, and they always say, like, you know, giving is the best gift.
Yeah.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I remember as a kid, like when I was in sixth grade, I think we did like an adopt a grandparent program.
Uh-huh.
And so we would go to a nursing home once a week and we each had like a fake grandparent that wasn't our grandparent, but it was an old right. person there that we would meet with every week.
Uh-huh.
And I met with a blind man. He was, and I read to him every week.
Wow.
And
that's
he was
nice.
Always so happy to see me. And we like formed a little relationship. And then like after I was 12 years old, after that school year, like I never talked to him again, which makes me sad thinking about it now. But at the time, like it brought him so much joy to have like, cause his own children wouldn't come by and then the other ones like lived out of the state. And
right.
So it was just like really nice time for him. So I'm sure your ex-father-in-law.
It's
really
good. Yeah.
That.
It's good to take a break every once in a while, I think, and think about other people.
Yeah.
You know, get out of your head.
Totally.
Which is hard for me to do, to get out of my head.
Yeah.
But,
well, dude, it's so big.
Yeah.
I was waiting when you were going to get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, where's my shotgun here? My sound effects.
Oh, it really is like an arcade. I love shooting games. Have you ever shot a gun?
No, in fact, I just bought a BB gun the other day.
Oh, jeez.
Because I want to shoot a gun.
I'm scared. No, I've gone to a shooting range before.
Really?
And I love guns.
Yeah, I'd love to go to a shooting range. In fact, I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the BB gun, but I don't know where to shoot it. You know, I don't know where to go. Because I thought if I go in the park, people are going to think it's a real gun,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes, yes. And yeah, and you don't want to hit anybody
real.
Or like it's a ricochet off a tree or anything.
No, I mean, you go very far, you know, I mean, away from people. But still, I think even if they see you at a distance shooting a fucking gun.
You're getting arrested.
You know? Yeah.
And I'll be like, I swear.
Yeah.
You
so I don't know where people go to shoot those. You know,
BB
but
guns,
I mean,
I don't
love that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went to a real shooting range and shot a real gun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Really?
Like, there's so much power in it.
I know.
And I think
I
it's pretty
really
sexy.
Want to do it. What'd you shoot? A pistol, right?
44.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Magnum? Wow, that's a big fucking gun.
I did it in Miami.
Really?
Like years ago, yeah. Like, my brother-in-law had gotten a gun, and my sister had one. They had, like, matching his and her guns.
Yeah.
And so I went to the shooting range.
Wow, 44 Magnum, man. That's a serious fucking pistol.
It was. It was hot. Like, I felt like I was Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, sure.
Again, it's all
the
about the
movie. The gun was probably bigger than you.
Yeah, and I have little hands, too. It's, like, the one small part of my body.
Uh-huh.
Like, when my ex-fiance was, like, asking me to marry him, like, the jeweler did not believe, like, the size of my ring. He's like, her hand can't be that small.
Really?
It really was, yeah. So the gun was, like, gigantic in my hand.
I'm
which
sure.
is another reason why I, like, really big...
Big cocks.
I didn't say it.
You wanted to. You did say it.
I didn't say it. I just smiled, and you took it there. Oh.
So you need a cock right now. Right? You don't? You don't need one. Not this moment, I mean, but in general.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you're ready for one.
Yeah, sex is nice.
Yeah.
Sex is good. Sex is fun. But I want it with someone I love.
Yeah.
I want their love
it's
all
time.
Over my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, sex is always good. Who doesn't want it? You want sex, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our listeners want sex.
Yeah. I mean, did you have to ask?
Well, you asked me. I really need it, don't I? I mean, you know, you go
through
it.
We had to clarify.
Yes. I mean, yes. And the answer is
You're
yes.
You're ready for a big, hard one.
Speaking of penises, Pee Wee Herman.
Uh-huh.
I heard on the radio this morning. Did you know that he's still so popular?
Really?
Yeah,
where?
Well, I
with
thought
kids?
The same thing. No,
yeah.
Well, adults too. I was driving and I was listening to Ryan Seacrest, mm-hmm. and he was saying, folks, we have somebody great on air, blah, blah, blah. I guess basically Pee Wee Herman's back to doing a show, and his tickets sold out immediately. They had to move his show to a bigger venue.
Really?
So he's at Club Nokia, and it's for adults only. It's like age 16 and up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that he was still so popular, but
yeah.
he got on air and he was the guest and he was just making me laugh. And I never really watched him before. And I'm like, he really is funny.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, he's a funny, funny guy. And then, of course, it made me realize, you know, think about, you know, in the sex store and all that stuff and how at the time I thought, wow, that's so dirty. And then I was thinking about it as I was driving here. I'm like, he's just a normal guy yeah. just because he's an
it
actor.
It wasn't the
mean...
sex store. It was a theater.
I mean, it was theater. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Where he was caught masturbating a few years back.
Yeah.
You see, and it stuck with him for the rest of his life now.
That sounds dirty, too.
I know.
Stuck.
But who goes... yeah. But who goes to a fucking movie theater to watch... video. I mean, actually, at one time, there were no videos,
I
guess.
But it was in New York City, and they were, like, all those live, like, I mean, those sex theaters are everywhere in New York, like in Times Square.
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's true, because they cleaned it up.
Yeah.
I know. I'm kind of bummed about that when
I
go.
Are you?
I'm going to go see a Broadway show when I'm there.
Really?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Which one?
I don't know yet. I was given some options, but I think I want to go to Radio City because they have their Christmas spectacular with the Rockettes.
Ah.
And I know it's cheesy, but my grandmother used to take me every year.
Really?
Because I would go there for Christmas, and she took me, and I haven't been in years, and I just think it would be really fun to go see the Rockettes
again.
Yeah,
it would.
You know?
It would.
And there's no real, like, Broadway shows that I'm dying to see. I mean, I think they're all great.
Yeah.
But I think the Rockettes would be really fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be such a great time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I'm, like, beyond excited if I don't come back.
Yeah.
I loved being here.
Okay. Well.
Kidding. I mean, like, unless I meet someone and he, like, puts me up and, like, pays for me and takes care
of
me.
A lot of things could happen for you not to come back, I'm sure.
I don't know.
We'll be happy for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know what my manager called me last night? He called me Sherry Golddigger. He was making a play on my last name, and I was like, wow, I've never been called that. I've been called, like, Bronzeberg, Silverberg. I got all these plays on my last name, but he called me Golddigger.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah, I know. I thought that, and I was
like, why did he call you why did he call you that?
I don't know.
I don't see you as a Golddigger.
No, he didn't either. He was just trying to be funny.
Oh,
but
and
then
he wasn't.
Whenever time I walked by, he kept going, Golddigger. And I don't know. I had barely slept, and I was so tired that I was just laughing at everything.
Really?
Oh, this is another weird mood that I was in. So I go up to the table, and they ask me what beers they have that we have on tap. And remember, I've only worked there a couple of months, whereas my other location, like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was so out of it with the energy drinks and everything. And I was like, we have Guinness and... you know what? I have no idea what we have on tap here. I'm lying to you. I just started working here. I actually work in, and I just, like, went off. He looked at me. He's like, Guinness will be fine. And I went back. I was like, thanks for bearing with me. But I totally lied to him and said, like, I don't really work here. Like, and then I realized, okay, like, and I'm a trainer.
Yeah.
I realized no more energy drinks. Like, this day is all just, like, shot to hell.
Yeah.
Like, the whole day was
just
off.
It was a mistake,
off.
Huh?
It was a mistake waking up yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The whole thing was weird. But I couldn't believe, like, I totally said to his face, I was like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. And then, like, my... Yeah, and then when I was bringing them dessert, I was just doing the weirdest things. I said, oh, I brought a third fork for me. And they looked at me, and they're like, oh, no, I said I brought a third fork. And they're like, for who? And I'm like, me! And this is like a fine dining restaurant.
Yeah.
I was just being, like, so ridiculous. But, I mean, they left me really nice tips, and then I thought, maybe I need to be this crazy all the time.
Maybe, yeah, maybe people like that.
Mm. I think so, because I think when they go to restaurants like that, people are all, you know...
Yeah.
You know, conservative, and, you know, hearing the pin drop and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff, and that's
yeah.
kind of boring.
Yeah. But some waiters are cool.
Yeah.
You know, we went, when we stopped at San Clemente coming back, there's a great seafood restaurant right there on the pier, you know, so you can, like, the water around you and
uh-huh.
stuff like that. And
that
the service was amazing. The service was really amazing. You know, you had, like, young waiters and waitresses
uh-huh.
and stuff. Notice I don't say servers because
uh-huh.
They're not servers. They're fucking waiters.
What's the difference to you?
There is no difference.
No, I'm just curious because everyone says servers and it's all PC, but I feel like I almost don't mind being called a waitress.
Yeah.
Because serving makes me feel like I've got to like walk over like with
yeah,
these
exactly.
little like doggy paws and be like,
yeah.
Like, how can I help you? Let me serve you.
Yeah, how may I serve you? Like a servant.
And I can come back with many answers.
Yeah.
Especially if they're hot. So anyway, so you had really good service.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a
So
service.
Do you ever hit on hot guys at the restaurant? I mean, do you make them, do you let them know that you're...
Well, I guess I've been told that I'm flirtatious naturally, and I don't think that I am, but I get told all the time that I have flirty eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I flirt first or if they do, but I mean, I get numbers a lot in the restaurant. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you don't have to ask for them.
No, God, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I would never. I'm not that forward.
Yeah.
Like, I play...
I don't know how people can do that. I mean, I never gave a number to to a server.
Yeah. No, they leave it, like, on the credit card slip or, you know, they ask me, you know, so are you married? Do you have a boyfriend? Or, you know, are you going back to your husband later? That kind of silly stuff. And if I don't find them attractive, I'm like, yeah.
That's exactly where I'm going.
Right. And if I don't, then I'm like... No boyfriend. Just me and my cat.
I'm available. You can come on my FaceTime.
And my pocket rocket. No, I don't say that to them.
I'm sure.
I would never. I do play the shy game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't play it. Like, I do get shy, like, when people naturally, like, when they flirt with me.
Mm-hmm.
I did have, which I didn't tell you about. I've been meaning to tell you about it. About last week sometime, I was sitting at a red light on Ventura, and this guy in his Bentley, looked over at me and he told me to roll my window down, which is very funny that people still go like this, you know, with the rounding of the hand. I'm like, who doesn't have automatic windows anymore?
Yeah.
But would you understand if someone went like, whoop, press the button? Anyway. So he told me to roll it down and I did. And he asked me directions somewhere. He had like an Iowa license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him and he was like, you have beautiful eyes. And I was like, oh, thank you. And the light, long story short, he got out of his car and came over to my window and gave me his card.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he asked for my number, like, from the window. And I said, I was like, honestly, I'm not going to call.
Yeah.
I said, I don't call. And he was really attractive.
Really?
And so he said, well, what did he say? Basically, long story short, I told him that if he was interested, he had to listen to our show.
Uh-huh.
And I gave him my email address because I realized that's a good way of doing it and not giving your phone number out,
right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So I gave him my email address and I said that if he emails me with something that I said on the show,
uh-huh.
then I know that he listens. But he told me that
then you'll consider him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I was trying to get a fan, too.
Yeah.
And then I would know he's really interested in me. I never heard anything.
Yeah.
But he told me that he was, like, going to a business meeting or something like
yeah.
that. But I should have maybe taken his number because he was really good looking and he was in a Bentley.
Yeah.
But the new ones, too, like the two-door
yeah.
little nice ones.
There you go. You see?
And I'm not... Maybe that makes me a gold digger.
No, it doesn't. I
no.
mean, it's always better to be with money. I mean, who wants to choose
okay,
no
Dad,
money?
Okay, Dad, here we go again. I always choose the no money route, but I'm changing that.
Yes, good.
Yes, I'm putting that out there.
You'd follow the money.
Because we all know how that buys happiness.
Yeah, there
Did you
go.
See the newest thing I posted on Facebook?
No, which
oh,
one?
Oh, you got to check it out later. It's pretty incredible. I don't want to, like, give it away, but if you go on my page, it's basically about perception,
uh-huh.
and it's about a minute and 45 seconds, and look at it.
What is it, a video or something?
Yeah, but it's... You got to see it. It's like words. It's like a thing that's being said, but it's what they do to it that's pretty cool and just gets you to look at life differently.
Oh, I see.
It's really cool.
Wow.
You don't even just have to be spiritual for it.
No.
Oh, by the way, people love that dog video. I've been getting emails about it.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I might say amazing.
Yeah. But then I watched it again with the sound, and you're right. They are laughing.
Laughing, yeah. She's cracking up.
Yeah.
Well, she gets knocked over by a big dog, and she gets pounded. I mean, when was the last time she had a doggy style? And that's a story. She could have died happy right there.
That is so funny, that thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Do you feel like Chris Rock?
Yeah, I love
Sometimes
Chris Rock.
Sometimes I just feel like Chris Rock or some comedian.
Never
you know?
Scared. Have you seen that one?
Never Scared.
It's one of his stand-ups.
No, we can find it, though.
Oh, it's one of the most intelligent things. Like, Chris Rock used to annoy me, with his voice. Like, it was just like kind of thing. And then I watched this on HBO, and he had, his jokes. It was just, it was so intelligent. It was such intelligent humor, and it just made me laugh, and I, became a huge fan of him after
that. Right, yeah. He's got a great, he really figures out what people think,
Yeah.
And stuff.
And it was political humor, and I got it.
That's all true, yeah.
I got it, which, made me like it even more.
Really?
I felt smart.
Well, anything to help you in that.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Chris Rock, this one's called Doctors and Drugs.
Hmm.
Yeah. Why are we not hearing anything?
Because you're on drugs.
I'm raising the wrong one.
They don't cure nothing. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid, man. What's the last shit a doctor cured? Polio. You know how long ago polio was? That's like the first season of Lucy. Shit, Fred had an afro with finger waves. Have you ever met anybody with polio? Anybody feel a little polio around you? No. That's right. They don't cure shit. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid. AIDS, sickle cell, tuberculosis, cancer. Jerry's kid still living around. That's right, we got AIDS out there. You think they're gonna cure AIDS? No. They can't even cure athlete's foot. They ain't curing AIDS, shit. They ain't never curing AIDS. They ain't never curing AIDS. Don't even think about that shit. They ain't curing that because ain't no money in the cure. The money's in the medicine. That's how you get paid on the comeback. That's how a drug dealer makes his money on the comeback. That's all the government is, a bunch of motherfucking drug dealers on the comeback. They ain't curing no AIDS. That's like Cadillac making a car that lasts for 50 years. And you know they can do it, but they ain't gonna do nothing that fucking dumb. Shit, they got metal on the space shuttle that could go around the moon and withstand temperatures of up to 20,000 degrees. You mean to tell me you don't think they can make an El Dorado with a fucking bumper don't fall off? They can, but they won't. So what they will do with AIDS is the same thing they do with everything else. They will figure out a way for you to live with it. But they don't cure shit. They just patch it up. Get you to the next stop so they can get more of your money. That's right. They ain't going to cure it. Hopefully, in our lifetime, that's right, you're going to see somebody go, yo, man, you weren't at work yesterday. What's up? Hey, my AIDS is acting up. You know, when the weather get like this, my AIDS just pop up. But I took some Robitussin and I'm fine now.
I love him.
Yeah.
I do.
He's amazing, man.
Well, because he talks about different stuff, too.
Yeah,
you know what
he
I
does.
Mean? Like, and things that everybody can relate to, which is what makes, you know, a comic funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we'll play some more, not right now, but there's a couple of his. We played that religion thing, right?
Uh-huh.
The other day.
I remember.
With God and everything.
Oh, yeah. Totally. So you remember that, huh?
Yeah, I remember.
Wow. You remembered stuff he says, but not me. That's fine.
Shut up.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I love him. I could listen to him all day. But I used to be a huge Eddie Murphy fan, too. Did you like Eddie Murphy?
Yes, but he's not funny anymore.
Well, I don't really know if he does much anymore.
Yeah, he makes movies that don't make it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I watched Raw and Delirious, and those were hilarious to me. I remember I saw Raw with my dad. Mm-hmm. And he was cursing and telling all these sex jokes, and I was just dying laughing inside, but sitting with my dad should I be listening to this stuff?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know. I haven't even thought of Eddie Murphy in a long time.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Yeah.
Loved him.
Which one did you like?
Raw. And Delirious.
Okay.
Both of them are really, really funny.
Raw. Okay.
Delirious was his first one, I think. Yeah. Before Raw.
But it's like the whole show, right? Raw.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they were like, it was on TV. It was like stand-up TV.
Yeah. He was talking about Italians and Rocky movies. Let's see what that is about.
Okay.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy from Raw.
Oh, you
Raw.
Just pull it up like that?
Yeah.
Oh. Technology.
Yeah. Technology.
I was in the club, man. I stopped. I ain't dancing long because I just had a fight recently, and I said I ain't dancing. I went to clubs. You get into a lot. People get drunk, go to clubs and stuff, fight. I had a fight with an Italian dude. Right after around time, Rocky came out. Italian, white people, period. Y'all go crazy after y'all see a Rocky movie because y'all believe that shit. Because the movies are so emotional and so real. You sit there and go like, hey, this is real. Yeah, and Stallone have y'all white people pumped, especially Italian. If the Italians see Rocky, they come out the movie theater, they be like, Italians are funny people because they act like niggas. It's real funny. They do. They hold their dick more than us to be standing around with. Get the fuck out of here. It's right here, all right? What? Hey, fuck you, all right? Everything is a question, too. Hey, what am I, an asshole? I'm like, fucking jerk, get the fuck out of here. It's right here, all right?
He's like holding
it's
his
visual,
truck.
Yeah, it's yeah. Totally visual, the show.
Yeah. After they see Rocky, they come out the theater, charge. They be like, all right, Rumble! Right, Slaughter!
All right, that is a little bit visual.
Yeah, that particular part.
Yeah.
I love Italians.
Yeah.
Like, I could listen to them all day long. Yeah. I remember, like...
The way they talk, like, New York.
Oh, yeah, like, New York Italians are my absolute favorite. If I could marry anybody, it would be a New York Italian.
Yeah.
I remember
like
growing
Joe
up...
Like, Joe Pesci or something.
Well, no,
right?
Not that bad.
No?
He's not sexy.
I love the way he talks, though.
I know, but there's just something sexy. Like, my sister and I, when we would spend summers in New York, like, we would go from Florida and, like, you know, leave my mom and spend it with my grandparents, and we would just hang out on the streets of New York and in Queens and, like, just watch all the Italians. They would just talk like this, and we're like, I love you.
The things you love, I'm telling you.
It was weird. And then we went out. My sister and I used to, my grandfather had a fur business. Mm-hmm. He was a furrier, and so he owned it. And so the summers we would go and like help out sometimes, and we would like model in the windows. Yeah. We would put on these giant long fur coats, and we were like young girls, and like just pretend like we were like mannequins and not move for like an hour. And we had like people around the windows watching us.
Really?
And stuff. Totally. And there was these two black guys, and they left us their numbers, and their names were Double and Trouble. And we thought it was the hottest thing. We're like, oh my God, we're going out Double Trouble. And they wanted to take us to a Run DMC concert. And my grandmother was like, you are not hanging out with colored people. And like all this stuff. So we had to like sneak out and like go. We went to Madison Square Garden with them. And like, and then we just hung out with all these guys we were not supposed to. But we just always had this thing for just like New Yorkers and the accent. And even now, like when I hear it, I just like get all, like inside.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I love Italy so much.
Yeah.
I just have a whole thing for their culture.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
What about, I mean, you mentioned that you like black people too, as far as in bed, right?
I'm pretty much like anybody in bed.
But you've had your share, right?
Of black men?
Yes.
I've had sex with some black men, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're really, 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 really well endowed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I like aggressive men in general, and they usually are, and they're usually pretty dirty.
Yeah.
You know, they know how to talk to me the right way that
and
I like it.
And you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, and when I say aggressive, I don't mean like you're throwing me around. Uh-huh. I just mean that you're sexually aggressive. You say the right things. You ask the right questions.
I see.
You know?
Uh-huh.
You put me in my place.
You're pathetic.
Do you know that you called my friend that the other day on air? And you said it like under your breath, and she totally texted me, and she was like, Sam called me pathetic. I was like, don't pay attention to him. No, because she when my best friend Heather called him,
right.
And she was standing outside the store, and the reason why she was standing outside the store is because she didn't want to be rude.
Right. Then go inside and
talk. But you thought she was like waiting for the store to open, and you had said, you were like, you waited before the store opened? Just, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
And she heard it back on the playback, and she's like, Sam called me pathetic. I'm like, don't worry about Sam.
Yeah. I didn't call her pathetic.
I know, like someone waiting outside.
The action was.
Waiting outside the store. She's sensitive.
I know, we offend people all over the place.
Well, I'm trying not to. I'm going to go home and read the Bible.
Yeah.
the whole thing from beginning to end.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
You want to take another short break?
Sure.
Okay, another short break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted off the ground. They loved themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Avoiding the shadows, well, they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had. So high.
you gay here. You know, the only thing more gay than me and Rad are the confines the FCC plates on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
So who did we offend today? Did you get... Are we, like, offending people?
No. My friend is back showing it and stuff, which, by the way, you are iTunes. I've got an update. I've gotten the word.
Yeah. No, there's been a problem there with iTunes. I don't know what it is, but I need to call them. Yeah. Because the... Well, it doesn't matter. It's technical.
No one wants to hear that. I've just had a few people that have been like, so it only goes up to this date. Yeah. I need to hear more. No, they were just...
Tell them to go to the freaking website for crying out loud.
But I guess they can't listen to it in their car.
Yeah.
They can't listen to it in their car. I guess they get it through their iPods.
Yeah, but you can download an MP3 and then just put it on your iPod.
But I think it gets automatically sent when you like subscribe to it. Right. It automatically goes to your iPod.
That's
you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So for people that want to subscribe, it's super easy. You don't have to do any work.
All right. Well, we'll catch up on that.
I'll help you.
Not that
I know how to do anything like that. No. They were just going to another show, and it was just a text about another show. So
oh,
I said something.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Yeah. But... Well, now it's not funny anymore. You're talking about the radio's better than sucking cock, and I'm just thinking, obviously it's not suck cock before to say something so silly like that. I have a question for you about sleeping arrangements.
Yes.
Can you sleep with your wife, like, hugging, or do you need to have space when you actually sleep? Like, are you a spooner?
Yes, very much so.
And you could sleep like that, too?
Yeah.
Do you prefer to be the one spooning or getting spooned?
No, it's not really. Well, we spoon too, but we hug as well, you know, when we go to bed and stuff.
But I mean, like, actual sleep time.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have your own space.
Well, no, because some people can, like, totally fall asleep, like, while, you know, in the
arms of
somebody.
Yeah, you can fall asleep like that.
But, I can't.
You know, no?
I'm saying, like, no. Like, as soon as, like, it's time, like, sleep, I'm like, all right, get off me.
Yeah.
I have to, like, roll over. I have to, like, have open space, like, no confinements, like, no socks on. Otherwise, I can't, like, sleep at all.
Yeah.
And then I can't have anybody snore. I'll end up, like, on the couch.
You better get used to it if you're going to get married eventually.
No, I'm just going to have to get used to sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I was just thinking about physical contact, because a lot of people can't and sleep with someone like that.
Really?
Yeah. Like, no matter how, I think it's nice to hug somebody, but I always feel bad when, like, they're hugging me and I just want to, like, okay, can you get off me now? And for someone like me that loves hugging, it's like a weird little quirk about me.
Yeah. Do you like the cuddling afterwards, after sex?
Yeah. Especially if you're, like, still covered in your own stuff.
I see.
Love to lay around in it.
God, you're disgusting.
I know, I did it to disgust you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what else is a weird quirk I had? Is I was in my shower this morning, and I looked. I have a razor quirk. Mm. My friend brought it up to me. He was like, why do you have, like, 50 razors in your shower? And it's because I like to use a fresh razor every single time, only use it once.
Right.
I didn't realize this was weird until my friend pointed out. But then I feel bad about throwing him out because... Uh-huh. I just spent money on them, so I just have, like, a collection of razors, and I always tell myself...
You're hoarding them.
I always tell myself, I'm going to use it again, like, I will use it again, but I don't.
You don't.
No, yeah. And I'm just finding out how weird I am, because I looked up at them this morning, and I was like, there's about, seriously, like, 30 up there.
Really?
And so I had to throw them out this morning. I'm like, Cher, you know you're not going to use them again.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Is that weird,
Samuel? Very weird.
Am I weird? Is this why I don't have anybody?
Just a little bit.
That's okay. Do you have any weird quirks?
Yeah, but more than I care to talk about.
Maybe you need to get in touch with them.
No, I'm just very, organized.
Yeah.
I mean, things have to be, like, in a certain way and stuff, you know?
And your emails are really organized.
Yeah, my emails. My books have to be just so, you know. And
Speaking of books.
Yeah.
Don't worry, nothing's happened to yours yet. No. The other day, my roommate has a dog, right? Uh-huh. And no matter if I close my door or not, the dog can push it open even when I lock it because it's not done well, I guess, the lock.
Right.
Something on
so much
well.
For the lock. Why would you even lock it if
Well,
it
because
doesn't
I
work?
Thought that maybe it'd be a little more difficult for him to push it open by locking it. Anyway, so I get home and my book called The Meaning of Life is chewed up to pieces. And I totally started, well, first I got mad and then I totally took it as a sign. I'm like, dog chewed up my book, The Meaning of Life. Like, you can actually find the meaning of life in a book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
go.
Then I looked at my shoe and he like chewed up the bottom of my heel. And then I went and looked for the book, The Lost Sign Symbol. And I was like, oh God. So like now it's on the top shelf every time like I leave
good.
My room. Because I just like pictured your face and being like, oh, and then I realized I'd have to like shell out and buy you a whole brand new book. So it was really about me and my spending. But it's a freaking crazy dog. It's the cutest dog, but I'm just like, really, like I need a new pair of shoes now.
Dogs do that, yeah.
So I went out with this pair of shoes because I never wear them, but it was like the one day I was going to wear them to go out at night.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a long pair of jeans, so it kind of covered the bottom of the heel, so you couldn't see how chewed up it was.
Right.
But I ended up with the worst blisters because I was walking all lopsided.
Does the dog ever get to your...
underwear?
Yeah, to your panties?
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love the crotch, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, and so when I got home that day, too, there was three pulled out of my hamper that were
really?
Just, like, all over the room.
Wow, very
so,
nice.
Yeah, I know. So now I take my little chair in my room, and I have to push it up again, because I have two entrances to my room, strangely enough, and... I have to put that up against the door so we can't get out and then go through the other door that works correctly. It's a big hassle now.
Oh, man.
The life
problems,
of Sherry.
Yeah. Problems of being Sherry.
I know. And then another question I have for you, unless you have something more important that you want to talk about.
No, that's fine.
Did you ever buy stuff from infomercials?
No.
Okay.
No, never have.
I was an infomercial queen.
Really?
Back in the day, like in college, like an infomercial person could talk me into anything. It was like the slicer, dicer, mincer. I'm like, mine! I'm gonna, like I was suddenly gonna like cook more if I didn't have to chop things up.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I know. They've got the weirdest things though in those infomercials.
Yeah.
Right?
I bought like the pasta strainers things, like where you don't have to like have a separate strainer. It's like built in.
Uh-huh.
So when you turn the pot over, like all the water pours out.
Right.
I thought by buying that I would make pasta more and cook more. Like I have all these like kitchen gadgets. I still don't do anything.
Really?
Like, I still microwave or go out to eat or whatever. They didn't do anything. But my friends used to be like, oh, God, Sherry's watching an infomercial. They're making more money. I was like, believe anything they said. I'm like, Lori Davis hair products, mine. I'm going to have long, luxurious hair. Like, I just, everything I, like, believed. I was the biggest sucker ever.
Mm-hmm. So you don't like to cook that much?
I don't know how.
Oh, okay.
But if someone knows how to cook, like, I want to do all the prep work. Like, I love chopping up onions and vegetables.
Oh, really?
I like doing all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that part's fun. And I think the thing with cooking, I so want to learn, but I don't have the palate for it as far as, I don't know what ingredients taste like, so I can't be like, oh, this sauce needs a little cumin.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it's going to do for the
dish. Just use recipes then.
Well, yeah, but that's boring because then you're following somebody else.
Yeah, so.
You know? Like, I had a
but it could be good.
Well, no, it ended up being really good.
Yeah.
But does that make you a good cook or just a good direction follower? You know?
You still have to execute it, right?
Well, yeah. I had a dinner party for my friends, and they all know I don't cook, and so they all showed up early to help me. And I said, no, everyone has to be out of the kitchen. And they all kept trying, and then I realized they weren't trying to be helpful. They were afraid of what it was going to taste
well-being.
Like. But they started dying laughing because I wouldn't let them. They were watching me. I was like, had the recipe book in one hand, like the cookbook, and it was like, crack an egg. And I was like, like having to read exactly how to do stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, Sherry, you don't need to be that like specific with the... I was like, no, I do.
Yeah.
It says 2 teaspoons, you know, or they were, you know... they.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I wish
didn't
I did.
Did your mom teach you anything?
We're Jewish. No. Come on now. She had like 3 dishes that she made that my grandmother made.
I see.
And then we ate out all the time.
Yeah.
That's why we got in so much credit card debt. Like we lived above our means. We shopped for clothing all the time that we didn't have money for. We went out to dinner all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and then plus my mom was a single mom and the last thing she wanted to do was cook when she got home.
You
know, she worked all day and my sister learned how to cook though. My sister's a good cook.
Yeah.
She got that gene. Mm. I got the good oral sex gene.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody gets
she cooks,
right?
I have sex. I think I lucked out.
Yeah,
except for the guy, you know, that really likes a good cook.
Yeah.
I'm not your girl.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the reason why you're not finding a husband. You know, maybe you need to cook
first. That's so old-fashioned. Really? I might as well do the dishes then, too. Maybe I'll find them. And
it's old-fashioned, but
it's true. I should mop the floor and do laundry and keep myself in the kitchen like a woman should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds good.
I'm such a shit.
So your friend is arriving tomorrow.
Yes.
Becky.
yes.
Wow.
Yes, tomorrow night. I have to work, though. Mm-hmm. But when I get out of work, I'm going to go meet up with her and Heather. She wants to party nonstop.
Well, sounds good.
I'm exhausted. Oh, my God. I have two jobs now.
Did you take some time off?
No.
No?
Because I was going to try, but now that I'm going to New York, like, I got to work as much
as
possible.
Yeah, you got to take more time off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I told her, I mean, you know, whatever. I'll meet her after work. It's not like things, you know, it's partying. It's going out. It's drinking.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Has she been to L.A. before?
No, never.
Really?
So
you're going to have to do all the touristy things.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to do that much. Like, she likes my idea of, like, doing what the locals do. I mean, the one thing she does want to do is she wants to go to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which I told her is a big gutter.
Yeah.
And
Venice Beach.
Yes. I told her about that. And then I want to take her hiking. I think Runyon Canyon she'll love, like, being up there. And then to my favorite beach, this little getaway, El Matador. Have you been to that beach?
No.
Oh, it's past Zuma. It's like the most beautiful place on
Earth.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, check it out.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have pictures on my page.
Like north of Zuma?
Mm-hmm.
Like going up.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Like Ventura County line, I think.
Oh, really?
And it's a little private beach, and not many people know about it. I guess it used to be a nude beach back in the day.
Really?
And there's little caves and stuff like that. It's, like, amazing.
Wow.
It's gorgeous.
Thanks for telling me about it.
Yeah. Go on my page, and you'll see pictures of it. It's so nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I told her about it, and she wants to go there.
Yeah.
The problem is she wants to party all night, and then I have to work the next night, so I'm going to want to sleep in. But, you know, when you're on vacation, she's going to be up, like, at the crack of dawn, like, let's go, let's go. Yeah. And I'll be like, oh, geez.
It's okay. It's only a few days, Jerry.
I know.
Relax.
Listen to you. Listen to you. No, I'll be so excited to see her.
Yeah.
Relax, Sherry. Breathe.
Yeah.
You act like your life's so difficult. You're having a friend coming in town and wants to have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, God forbid.
I hate you.
God help you.
I went from being in love with you to hating you.
Yeah, thank you.
See how quickly you turned that one.
Yeah, I'm known to do that.
Yeah. What are you going to do after here today?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing I do every day. Work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you do work after here?
Somebody has to. Someone has to run the station, right?
I thought it just did it by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The little radio station fairies come in.
Yeah. No, it's a 24-hour deal.
Where does your dream 5 years from now? Like, where would, if you had, like, anything you wanted, I know you're just going
to
revolve around
money.
Yeah,
no, I want the show to be really big.
Yeah.
That's
like the station or the show or, like, everything?
The show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the station, too, but the station is really started or was started because I wanted to have a show.
So your first love is being on air.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah.
Let's do it, buddy.
We will.
Well, you know who Dr. Oz is?
No.
Oh, jeez. We're not going to get anywhere. You need to learn pop culture. If I'm going to learn politics, you need to learn pop culture.
I guess I'm ignorant.
But at least you don't claim to be.
Yeah.
You know, and speak about stuff you don't know about like I do.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz is like a doctor that was always the guest on Oprah.
Uh-huh.
And he is like the most knowledgeable doctor. Talks about everything, isn't afraid. He like talks about people's poop and everything. And now he has his own show that Oprah gave him, I guess. And anyway, I heard on 104.3 or whatever radio station that is that he's going to be a guest in their studio. And they're not even... He's huge.
Mm.
And they're, you know, it's wonderful. It's not like this major station. And he's coming in town Tuesday. And I was thinking as I was driving, because I love him.
Yeah.
I was thinking,
get in touch with him.
How do I get him to come here? Because if he's going to be in town and he's doing that, like, he could so come here and talk about poop.
Yeah, for sure.
But I, you need to send me some stationary head. People are really interested in this.
Have we not talked enough about poop already?
No, but I just mean he's a doctor that talks about everything. And
right.
It's like changing lives all over the world. Like,
okay.
Yeah, he's just amazing. And I think,
okay, well, go ahead and figure out how to get in touch with
him. I know,
what's
the problem?
Yeah.
I just want to do stuff, so we're going to make the show really big.
Yeah.
We get big guests, and we have big personalities, and that's a big success.
There you go. It's a matter of time. It's all a function of time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know all this.
Give yourself enough time. You know, you stay consistent, you know.
Yeah.
Get all these ideas of getting your own show out of your head.
No, Sam, I like having
far.
I love Shut up. I'm going to start sounding like you now. Ah, shut up. That's how you sound, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my impression of you.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, shut up. You know, that sounded like a little cartoon, too.
Yeah, like Bugs Bunny. He does that.
Does he?
Yeah. Ah, shut up.
You love cartoons.
Why do men
love cartoons so much?
I don't know. They're funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so
funny. I haven't watched any in years, but... But yeah, I wouldn't mind watching some.
I used to like be like, hey, boo-boo.
That figures.
Or Scooby, where are you? Over here. Voiceovers are my future. It's time for us to go.
All right, it's time to go,
Thank you. I'm doing cartoon voices.
All right. So don't make any more mistakes at the restaurant,
no.
Okay?
No. Well, I was thinking, I'm not going to say it on air. Right. Okay. I'm feeling kind of ill. I don't know if I'm going to go to work later.
You're not ill.
Damn.
You better go.
Have a lovely day, everyone.
All right, everyone. We'll see you here tomorrow.
Have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.